Weekend Magazine.
Hello, my name is Chris Bushell and welcome to our weekly magazine show. Later on, we'll be telling you about an art exhibition focusing on daily struggles and revisiting the day when Croatia was internationally recognised. But first, Zagreb's Vatroslav Lisinski Concert Hall celebrated its 40th anniversary at the end of last year. Its director since 2009 has been Dražan Serišćević, and I recently caught up with him, finding out something about him and his plans for the concert hall in the coming year.
I was actually almost born in the opera house. I never had the idea to study music because I was with my mother and my stepfather, who were also opera singer, Nada Ružjak and Vladimir Ružjak. Everything I learned through them. I spent a month in London. It was in 1980 in Oxford School of English, 1 month in London. I was learning English, most of the time I was in the opera house. I was in Covent Garden every single evening in that month. And I remember that the ticket was restricted view up somewhere up in the Covent Garden. The ticket was £2. And whenever I was at the box office, I said, the cheapest, please. And the lady, after a few days, she recognized me, said, oh, I know, the cheapest.
The host of the long-running TV show Opera Box, Dražan Serišćević, has always been inextricably linked to the world of opera. Once a boy buying the cheapest opera tickets, he now runs the biggest concert hall in Croatia, named after the 19th century Croatian composer Vatroslav Lisinski. The hall, which has one very large auditorium with 1,847 seats, boasts state-of-the-art audio equipment, has excellent acoustics, and has been the venue for some memorable performances.
When Elina Garanča was one of the best opera singers now in the world, top star, when she was here, she had a concert, and she didn't try the acoustic before. That was unbelievable. The only thing I'd ask her, but you're not going to perform before tried the voice, and before she did, it's okay. Bryn Terwell was here singing. He had a fabulous concert here 2 years ago, I think. Great guy. He took a bottle of beer on the stage and he was singing an aria of Elisir d'Amore with the two bottles of beer. One he drank on the stage and the other, after the aria, during the applause, he went out to the audience and gave to somebody the bottle of beer.
I asked Dražan to tell me what he had in store for us in the coming year.
We have fantastic Czech Philharmonic Orchestra here. We've said BBC Philharmonic coming. They are here with Juan Menia, the conductor, and one of the best in the world, a German percussion player, Martin Grubinger. And we will have Giardino Armonico, one of the best chamber orchestras, Italian orchestra, with a Russian soprano, fantastic Julia Lezhneva. And beside that, we have two concerts with Croatian musicians. And beside that, more pop stars are coming. You know, we would like to create the atmosphere of Lisinski full of excitement and full of happy people. That is the idea.
But one very special person will no longer be around. Just after the hall's 40th anniversary celebrations at the end of last year, Croatian conductor Milan Horvat sadly passed away.
He was not the person who simply opened the hall, who conducted the first concert. He was really very, very much involved in pushing the politicians at that time to build the hall, because the first idea for the hall was in 57, and the hall was opened in 73. You know, they started, they stopped, started, stops, and because always there was something more important than concert hall. He was fighting hard in that period. When the hall was finally built, he was director and chef dirigent of Zagreb Philharmonic Orchestra for years. He was creating all the best programs. He was a great artist and great man. And for me, it was really sad when I heard, because he was in a way also part of my family. But what he gave us, what we have, it's a great inspiration for me, and it will be a great inspiration for the old people, musicians or directors to come in Lisinski and Croatia and in Croatian music.
Those wishing to obtain more information about forthcoming events at the Václav Lisinský Concert Hall should visit the following website, www.lisinsky.hr. The cultural ties between Austria and Croatia have once again been confirmed by an exhibition of Austrian contemporary artists, interestingly entitled Daily Struggle, which is being staged in the gallery of the Croatian Artists Association in the heart of the Croatian capital. Sandra Kalogera was there.
In life as an art, sometimes everything just comes together, resulting in a wonderful experience. This is exactly what the Daily Struggle exhibition brought to Zagreb. The six Austrian artists, Sandra Fockenberger, Hunden Horn, Ursula Hübner, Alfred Lenz, Moritz M. Polanski, and one Croatian living in Austria, Anna Elizabeth, led by curator and well-known Austrian video artist Paul Horn, brought to the city, sometimes referred to as Little Vienna, an exhibition of contemporary work spanning from interactive installations to short films and paintings, all of them trying to deal with the everyman's issue of daily struggles, but giving them a fresh slant. Curator and one of the artists presented, Paul Horn, explained,
"I wanted to do a show about small problems everybody of us is like facing. For example, in the morning we have to get up, we fight with our children or with our partners, we have problems, financial problems, or problems in job, whatever. When we were in art school, we were taught to solve big problems, like political problems, problems of life and death. So this is in a way very pathetic, and I wanted to focus more on the small problems we have to solve every day. The second aspect of the show was to play with this round circle and the form of this wonderful building. So we wanted to create a show like a parkour. So you go from one room to another, like you meet one person after another. And it should be something very round and playful. So you're just walking around, like on a children's playground or something like this."
The head of the Austrian Cultural Forum in Croatia, Georg Christian Luck, also spoke about the exhibition.
"Well, the Austrian Cultural Forum has a strong focus on contemporary art from Austria, promoting contemporary art, modern artists, young artists from Austria in Croatia. So for us it was a 100% green light for this exhibition. And right from the beginning we said this is what we want to support. We're not the organizers as such, but we are sponsors and we have done our best to support this exhibition because we really think it's a great exhibition, it's a great concept. And we are actually in regular contact with the HDLU. We are cooperating on many exhibitions. We just had Vienna Calling. But I really think that this one is a really nice one because it's interactive, it's video art, it's paintings, it's very interesting, and it's actually making use of this fantastic building, of these fantastic premises here."
The director of the venue at the Croatian Association of Artists, Gaela Gottwald, explained how the effort was funded at this time of economic crisis that has also struck the world of art, but in this case, things were a little different.
"This has actually a lot of sponsors, so it's funded by the Ministry of Culture, the City of Zagreb, the Austrian Cultural Forum, and then the artists from Austria actually got funding themselves from Austria, from the Stern region, etc. So we have multiple funding, since funding is always a tricky thing, so more eggs in many baskets, so that's pretty much how it all pulled together."
The Daily Struggle exhibition can be seen in the Croatian capital until the 26th of January.
And finally, although not a public holiday, the 15th of January is marked as the day Croatia gained its international recognition. In light of the 22nd anniversary of that historic date, Domagoj Ferencic has prepared this piece on one of the defining moments in modern Croatian history.
On June 25th, 1991, Croatia declared independence from Yugoslavia. On October 8th, 1991, Croatian parliament severed all remaining ties with Yugoslavia. Recognition of Croatian independence is generally believed to have taken place on January 15, 1992, when both the European Economic Community and the United Nations granted Croatia diplomatic recognition. The Serbian War of Aggression was still in full swing, with Serb paramilitary forces backed by the Yugoslav People's Army and Belgrade occupying one-third of Croatia's territory. Despite the difficult situation, the news of international recognition was celebrated by Croatians abroad and at home, including by then-President Franjo Tuđman on Zagreb's central Banja Luka Square.
I wanted to spend this historic day among the people on Zagreb's Jelačić Square. This is a day that we and our forefathers have lived for. Finally, we have created an internationally recognized Croatia. Tonight we celebrate, and tomorrow we roll up our sleeves and get to work rebuilding and developing Croatia.
However, the recognition process began much earlier, on June 26, 1991, by neighboring Slovenia, which left the former republic together with Croatia. Despite this, almost 6 months would pass before an internationally recognized country would do the same. Iceland was the first to do so on December 19, 1991. Recalling the pivotal decision, Hallgrímur Ólafsson, Croatia's honorary consul in Iceland, noted that as a small country, Iceland, led by Prime Minister Davíð Oddsson and Foreign Affairs Minister Jón Baldvin Hannibalsson, displayed immense courage in recognizing Croatia.
I think Icelanders were very proud too. And honestly, I think Icelandic people didn't know very much about Croatia in this time. But they know that when a small nation wants to rule itself, it's very important for them. Icelanders think that independence is very important.
Technically, Germany followed suit on the same day, but decided that recognition would only take effect on January 15, 1992, together with other members of the European Economic Community. Led by the late Pope John Paul II, the Vatican recognized Croatia on January 13th. In the ensuing days, Croatia would be recognized by more than 25 other countries, big and small. Then Prime Minister Franjo Gregoric summed up what recognition meant for Croatia. It means that the battle the Croatian people have waged to secure a free, sovereign, and modern Croatian Republic has found its place and been confirmed by the international community. It also means that it has been formally recognized that Yugoslavia no longer exists, which will enable a speedier resolution to this dirty war that is being waged against Croatia on its territory, and allow us to begin rebuilding our homeland even sooner. Then Parliament Speaker Žarko Domjan noted that recognition did not come without a heavy price, with more than 15,000 killed during the Serbian aggression. We fought for our country, we fought for our freedom and independence, and we achieved this through battle. When I say this, I'm bearing in mind that every fight requires its casualties. This was not a battle in a figurative sense, this was truly a head-to-head battle in a literal sense. Without this battle, we would not have won our independence and sovereignty. On May 22, 1992, Croatia became a member of the United Nations. Despite this, Croatia had to wait a full 6 years before it would regain control over its territory. Seriously outnumbered and outgunned, Croatian forces managed to fight off Serbian occupation from 1991 to 1995, and then, together with the UN, successfully achieved the peaceful reintegration of Eastern Slavonia, which was completed on the same day, January 15, in 1998. Today, Croatia is a regional leader. It joined the NATO alliance on April 1, 2009, and became a European Union member state on July 1, 2013.
Well, that brings us to the end of this weekend's programme. We hope you enjoyed it and do tune in again next week. In the meantime, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, where you can find more information about our programmes. For the Voice of Croatia, I'm Chris Bushell.
Weekend Magazine.